And we're talking about some of the weekend racing action, and of course on Friday night we were out at Tabcorp Park Melton, where we had a good racing there, and also reviewing some of the weekend features from Interstate. We've got Blake Redden back with us. Blake, how did you find the weekend's racing?
Yeah, it was. Look, Melton was good racing. Unfortunately, I don't think we're going to find a lot of horses outside of the obvious in terms of sneaky runs behind them. But I think pretty much what you saw is what you got. The Jane Allen, obviously, Amaretto was really strong in the Group 3 for the mares. And up in Queensland, Hector JJ was just enormous, wasn't he, winning the Blacks of Fate. So there's definitely a bit to talk about, but I'm sure we'll find some winners going forward from the two meetings.
Okay, we'll start off with the review of the local scene on Friday night, and we kick things off at Melton with the favourite Successful in Sparkling Success, who was able to win by a half-neck margin over a Fiery Mountain Girl.
Yeah, he just controlled the race again, didn't he? They didn't run any sort of time here. The lead time was 46, and the first two quarters of the last mile were very slow, even that third quarter in 29.9. He's certainly not maximum speed for what these horses can do. But Sundon's Courage was in front, and Sparkling Success didn't really put the foot down until they turned for home. And again, he hasn't won by a big margin, Sparkling Success, but I think he's done enough. He did what he had to. He'll go in with, I guess, a fighting chance in the final of this winter's Trotters Cup heat. He certainly won't be favourite. We'll get to that a little later in the review. But he's a really nice horse, and he continues to get the job done. His second win in a row. He's going to continue to improve. Fiery Mountain Girl is very good. She liked to hand up. Sundon's Courage got past her, and she finished off really well up the sprint lane. Cronham Bridge ran another monster race again. He had to work to the breeze, ended up 1-1 behind Sparkling Success. He was only beaten a metre and a half. Sundon's Courage stuck on well. And Zettelite and Mr. Gunson, probably, although well beaten, were both solid enough runs. Son of Sunoco, don't drop off him either, who was beaten back in the field. He was just going roughly at different stages, but you know, they're all good horses. I think in terms of going forward to the final, the only one that could possibly win it would be the winner, though, Sparkling Success.
We go to race two, which was the first heat of the Winter Championship, and this was won by the favourite in the Dapper Don. What type of run did he get throughout, Blake?
Oh, well, he just kept pushing on to the lead. He didn't find it probably as early as you would have liked if you'd taken the $2.20, given there was a little bit going on. Of course, Baz's Art, your expected early leader, is a hand-up horse, even over the sprint trip. He didn't really want to hand up to If the Mood Suits, so the Dapper Don had to continue to sort of work around. They weren't going blistering time, although they went a lead time of 7 seconds flat the first quarter for this class in 29.3, and then a second quarter of 30.1. He wasn't overextended to get to the front, the Dapper Don. He was always going to be hard to line up coming off that South Australian and Mildura form, but it definitely stood up, didn't it? He was able to sort of work them over through that third quarter, 28.4, and then he just sprinted up a 27.9 final fraction. Dan Man's a really interesting horse. He continues to progress and come through the grades. He's run a really good race from Three Peaks to get as close as he did on the line. Baz's Art, I'm not sure exactly where he's at. He still has a few tricks up his sleeve in terms of his gate speed, being able to hand up to the right horse, but he probably had his opportunity to win, and that last 50 metres probably saw him out as well. I don't think he was getting any closer that last little bit. So he's an interesting horse. Not sure exactly where he's at right now. Outside of those, there's probably not a whole heap from the race going into the final. I think the top three are the main three you want to focus on.
We go to race three, which was the second heat of the Winter Championship, and we had the two fancies fighting it out in Van Mara and I Will Rock You, with Andy Gath and Kate Gath combining with Van Mara Too Good.
Yeah, and he just kept working forward from that outside draw, didn't he? This heat, the second of the two heats, was a second and a half quicker than the first heat, so a lot of that damage was done in the first quarter. They rated an identical lead time, but that first quarter was 27.9, so a lot quicker. I Will Rock You came out and had a little dip at the pole marker, couldn't get across, dropped in behind. Wardwell held the lead throughout the race, but Van Mara was just able to work up to the breeze and, again, sort of control the race. He had Wardwell to his inside, a 20-1 shot, and he was just able to sit outside and put the pressure on when he liked, and he was too good for them. He got away in the straight. He's a nice horse. He's a lovely horse, really. He's only been beaten once in Australia, and that was by Dancing with Elvis, who was a good horse in his own right. So he'll go forward to the final of this race, and clearly he gets his park if he has to and still be too good. I think he's pretty versatile, Van Mara. I Will Rock You was very good. If he draws a really handy barrier in the final, then he's definitely a winning chance. Took of Albany made ground, albeit being well beaten in the end, but still a good runner. Bell's Beach House for Matty Craven sat right back off the speed, so entitled to run on, but did so quite nicely first time out for the team and can only improve off that. Another Derek was another one that didn't have a lot of luck in behind them. So a couple of horses outside the obvious to follow, maybe place bets in the final of this race, but in terms of winning chances, probably the first two to keep.
Then we have a look at the next race, which of course was run by Rock and Roll Noah, by quite a good margin, but most expected it to do so, starting favourite in the race.
Yeah, it was a good, solid win, and take nothing away from him, but the best thing beaten all night, perhaps for a little while, was Michael Joseph. He was pretty much across Rock and Roll Noah after the start. He went roughly, he had to go back through the field. He didn't lose, you know, stacks and stacks of ground, but he ended up right out the back, and he still, you know, put in a monster performance to run to the line the way he did. So he was only beaten a couple of metres, Michael Joseph. I think it's fair to say he was a good thing beaten, but all you can do is win, and that's what Rock and Roll Noah did. Eventually held the lead once that challenge subsided after the start. Just ran sort of good even fractions through the first couple of quarters and then let fly through that third quarter. That's where the race was won, 27-7 down the back and into the bend, and was too strong through the line for Michael Joseph, who, as I say, continued to try all the way home. Nanza Star wasn't beaten too far from the good running behind them. Our girl Billy Lee sort of loomed up at the top of the straight and was solid. Magical Man wasn't beaten far either. King Solomon's probably the most interesting one out of the race. He's had a really good boom on him over the journey. He was driven cold. He did get a split late and he made good ground. Maybe that's the way to drive him, because he hasn't been quite as impressive this preparation as many would have expected, but he did make good late ground there. So he's a horse that maybe if he had a really soft run, he can win his next start. But he's got talent, that's for sure. But Rock and Roll Noah, the winner, Michael Joseph, the best run of the race.
Okay, one of the features of the night was the Group 3. He's watching at Alabar Jane Ellen, and Amaretto was too good as most expected, but I suppose the authority in the margin was the bit that surprised, absolutely donkey-licked them.
Yeah, she did. She sat back and she just went, well, she, as you say, put the writing on the wall and start before with Karen Manning. I don't think she'll be in Victoria for too long, Amaretto. She'll probably head back to Ashley Grimes up in New South Wales, but she's really her purple patch, hasn't she? She was able to just blow them away. She's won by 17 metres in a Group 3 race. You don't see that too often. A mile rate of 155.4 for the middle distance. Really good times. Her last quarter, 27.7. She just built through the line. It was super impressive, Amaretto. Glenferry played was a touch unlucky. She by no means would have won the race, but she was just held up at the wrong time. When she got clear, she rattled home into second, or at least made good ground, you'd say. Rockstar Angel ran third. She was well beaten. She may have come to the end of it. I'm not too sure. She was obviously unsuited the way that things worked out in the Vic Bred Super Series final. She probably had her chance on the weekend, but the winner was just too good. The Lady Denver kicking over okay. Horses Molly was making late ground, and she's that type of horse, to be fair. She needs a soft run wherever she goes, but she did hit the line well. And, you know, if she found the right race again, she could run a cheeky race at odds. But Amaretto, definitely the best horse involved. If we see her again, since she'll be winning any mare's races down here in Victoria.
You'd think so on that performance. We go to race six, and this was one of the surprise results as far as the market was concerned on the program, with Gotta Go Henry, who SP'd at around the $13 mark. It was a tight finish, though, with virtually three horses going across the line together.
There was, yeah. Dead heat for second, hot as hell. I think John Justice can claim the Quinella, the birthday boy. It was his birthday on Friday, and Gotta Go Henry, he drove hot as hell. Of course, his horse sat behind Gotta Go Henry, who led early, and Dead heated for second with three ways. So it got tied up the lane. There were horses sort of going inside and outside. There was a protest, I think, his first, second perhaps, but didn't get upheld. But Gotta Go Henry, he's an interesting customer. He's a horse that loves running along over a sprint trip. He's not as well suited to the middle distance, but what John Justice was able to do was get him a breather through that first quarter of the last mile, 31.4, and again through the second quarter, 30.9, and then he just had enough to stave them off up the lane. But he's a horse that's in real form, isn't he? He continues to race well. I think probably 6 months ago you would never have expected him to be winning an M2 to M4, regardless of things working out for him in the run or not. But he is doing that now, and he's racing right at the peak of his powers. So good win from Gotta Go Henry. Hot as hell. Look, he had his chance, but he still tried hard up the lane. He wasn't beaten far. He's probably never going to be the horse that we thought he could be. We were talking Victoria Cups and Hunter Cups with him sort of maybe 18 months ago. But in saying that, he's still a good, solid metropolitan class horse. It's going to do a job for the next little while. Three ways, had to come with a late run. That's probably the best way to drive him, has been proven over the last couple of weeks. Ice cold, make a run at them late. He was very good to finish at dead heat second. Metro Mike wasn't far away, as you say. They finished all together. Bad Billy had to sit quietly, and he was another one that made a late run, and he probably didn't have the clearest of passages. So plenty to take from the race, but got to go, Henry was a deserved winner. I think three ways of Bad Billy, the two best horses to come from it.
And continued a great night for Karen Manning, her race seven. She was able to drive and train the winner here in its bet it's a win. I suppose people may have thought it might won by a little bit further, but still was able to get through in winning by a head.
Yeah, he's a really nice horse, isn't he? It's better to win, and he's come back. He was sort of plying his trade in the country for a couple of runs. He's come to town now in an M1 race, and he's just continued to improve. So from the outside of the second row, it was a good, strong win. Riverboat Jasper's run a terrific race, sat handy to the speed, definitely looked the winner at one stage, was very good closing, ran a nice second. Crockett's Cullen's a horse that's in form, run third. Animated Lead, and that's probably level. I think that's as good as you can go. They've gone 154.7. If you've got that breather through the second quarter, he was able to sprint up again. He was only beaten 4 metres, so a good, solid run for him. Yerrington Bob does what Yerrington Bob does. He was quite a good run. Max Richter had no luck. The Culture's probably the one that you want to focus on from the race, because he went in as second favourite on class. I think he would have nearly started favourite, but we're not sure exactly where he's at right now. He hasn't quite produced the way that we thought he might. He's a horse that loves being on the pegs. He ended up handing up to the Animated, but he might now be a horse that just needs to be free rolling in front. That's when we've seen him perform at his absolute best. He was beaten 8 metres there. I think if he's able to find a race where he can lead, he can run along and burn energy, it might be the best way to see him perform. But maybe he's just not going to quite perform to the level that we saw in previous preparations. But I think it's better to win the horse that's definitely going places. Whether he can measure up to the absolute top, I'm not sure, but he's definitely going to carve out a nice career.
And another heat of the Winter Trotters Cup was won by Maori Law, who started an odds-on favourite. So what did you take out of this win, Blake?
We didn't learn a whole lot new about him. Son of Anarchy got close to him late on the line, but it was just good to see him back in the winner's stall. Of course, everything went horribly wrong for him on Big Bread Super Series night, where I don't think at the 300-metre mark any horse of any race was travelling as well as he. He just got too fired up. He clipped heels and lost his gate and ended up running second still somehow in that final behind Enrolled. He really should have won that race, let's be fair. He's come here, he's led, he's dictated, he's done his own thing, and he's been too good. As I say, Son of Anarchy did take good late ground, but I don't think we got to the bottom of Maori Law there. I think he'll go forward to the final of this series, and he'll be a deserved favourite there regardless of barrier tours. He's a really promising horse in the making. Son of Anarchy was very good, did have the soft run, but a nice run. Kai Valley Boomerang, same story, was behind the leader in the middle stages and then fought on well for third. Into the Unknown, she just hasn't had things go away, has she? She was super in the Big Bread Mare's final for the four-year-olds when running on late out wide. She's had to come wide again. You probably don't have an option with her. You can potentially send her to the breeze. Whether she'll be as effective as she is when she's driven cold with one run, I'm not too sure. She's done it before and she's been solid in these sort of races. It's probably a 50-50 call depending on where she lands early, but we know what sort of talent she's got into the Unknown. She could easily blow them away in the final of this series if she produced their best. Outside of those, Amaral got fired up, so we could give that run to some degree, and there's probably not a whole lot behind those that could be winning the final. So I think of the race, probably Maori Law and Into the Unknown, the two that can actually win the final.
And then we had the Claimer to wind up the program, and it was won by the favourite to Save Some Time to Dream.
Able to use his gate speed here. He was back in class. He's come back in really terrific fashion. He's 9 years old now. Real credit to Paul Louth, the way that he's continued to get him up preparation after preparation. And I know Jason's laughed at him before, given that he's competed at a really high level in the past, but he's genuinely racing right at his best right now, if not far off his absolute peak. So he was able to lead. They went 156.1, not a quick time for even claiming class at Melton, and it was probably due to that first and second quarter where he only had to go 29 seconds through that lead period, and then 31.1 he was able to back down the second quarter, and he was too strong for them. He started favourite. Most people expected it. Soho Monza battled on really well from the trail. Was only beaten sort of a sulky's length. Washington Pockets wasn't really suited. He's a horse that he has done some breezing over the journey. He's been a tough horse probably at this stage of his career, that's not necessarily his go. He was left breathing without too many options through the early and middle stages. He sort of had to be there. He still fought on really well, and he's going to win a race very shortly. So he's definitely a horse to follow from the race. Outside of those, Sapphire Swayze, again, another one that probably has to be driven cold at this stage of his career. But although he was beaten into seventh, it wasn't the worst run of all time. He was racing a bit erratically, actually, late, but he did make good ground by that same token. So he's definitely a horse with the right race that can win shortly as well.
Let's talk about a couple of the features. We saw at Albion Park Saturday night, and we touched on the UBET Blacks of Fate Queensland Championship. It was won by Hector JJ as Tiger Tara was sent out favourite. Take us through this, Blake.
Yeah, it was really interesting. To the eye, I didn't think they were absolutely humming through the middle stages. Of course, it's the same trip, 2680, but you go back and look at the numbers. Tiger Tara led, of course, Luna the Shark worked to the breeze, as probably a lot of pundits expected through the early, middle and latter stages. And as I said, to the eye, I didn't think they were absolutely flying, but they ran a second quarter in 27.7, and then they've gone their third quarter in 27.4. So that middle half of 55.1 is just outrageous. They had to slow down late. That was the case. Hector JJ, he unclosed with a massive run, didn't he? We saw something very similar in the Sunshine Sprint 12 months ago. He wasn't quite needed in the Sunshine Sprint this year because he was able to lead, but I guess from the barrier draw, their hand was forced to some degree. They had to drive him cold. He got onto the three-wide train, and he just produced a magnificent run. I think now we're pretty certain that in the absolute big races, you have to drive him for speed late. He's tried to use his gate speed in a number of them now, the Len Smith a couple of months ago, and he probably wasn't quite as effective when they're running the whole way and he has to use his gate speed. So we saw an Into the Minion, he runs second from off speed. While he does have the gate speed to lead almost any race, when you get around these bigger tracks particularly, Gloucester Park to one side, I think he's not unbeatable, but near on it. Given that Grand Circuit races are generally run at a good pace, he's going to be uncoiling big runs, as he did on the weekend. Don't forget the horses beaten behind him, though. Myfield Marshall was super. He made a mid-race move, and he's still only been beaten a metre on the line. He continues to fight all the way. He's definitely Grand Circuit class now. We saw that in the Len Smith file, but he's just flanked that form in his last two runs in Queensland. So follow him through to Into the Minion. Tiger Tara, well, given that middle half, he's run when leading, and copping the pressure was still really good. Lenny the Shark, I think Jason Boddington's potentially calling his best ever run. He had to stick on from the breeze. He was only beaten 4 metres. I was probably a little bit disappointed on face value, but I do take that point on board. And Mr. Mojito will speak to Karen Manning hopefully soon. His run was absolutely superb for a horse that wasn't expected to mix it with this sort of class. He sort of started that three-wide train and was still only beaten 5 metres, so plenty to take from the Blacks of Fate.
Definitely. Look, we are approaching this race at Ballarat. Before you go, Blake, is there any report on Major Crocker who failed to finish this from a Victorian perspective?
I think he might have popped a wheel early, to be honest. He was quick off the gate, as you would have expected from him, but it was pretty much, you know, curtains early in the race, so I'm pretty sure he just popped a wheel and he'll be back at that sort of level without too long.
Wonderful. Thanks, Blake. There's Blake Redden from HRV with a review of the weekend's trot action.